Yeah, but what is the loud noise? If can you turn it down to the lowest? What's the point, you know, what's the point of speaking Dhamma if nobody can hear it? That's much better. Dukkha. So in the back, can you understand? Yeah? So why are you here? You don't know? What do you come for? Finding happiness, huh? Now everybody understands, huh? Otherwise you have to move forward, yeah? In the back rows, huh? Where does happiness arise? In this thing or that thing? Yeah? Going to a retreat? Yeah? Does the happiness arise in the retreat? Or does it arise in our heart? Huh? So wherever we go, we could be happy. Yeah? So why do we deprive ourselves of this happiness? Huh? Why do we constantly need to worry? Huh? About this, about that. Thinking about the future, planning about the future. Huh? Thinking about the past and forgetting the only moment that we live. That is right now. Because we're always in thoughts. Huh? Or playing with our mobiles, yeah? What is the purpose of our life? Huh? Why are we born? Why are we born in the situation we are in? Huh? We complain a lot. We constantly complain about this. We complain about that. Yeah? Yet we don't know why we are born, why we are in the situation. Huh? Constantly finding fault with other people. Yeah? With our partner, with our family, with our mothers and fathers. Yeah? With the government. Why don't we start finding fault with ourselves? That's where the fault lies, yeah? The fault line is here. And it constantly erupts. It's not out there. No? Huh? Anger doesn't arise here in the heart, huh? Who is the one who feels it first? You. Worries doesn't arise here in the heart? No? So why do we deprive ourselves of this happiness, huh? Don't think and you're happy. Huh? Wasn't there a song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, huh? Yeah. But we constantly worry, huh? If we would trust in our karma, yeah, we wouldn't have to worry. Whatever we have done unto others will come back to us, no matter if we worry or not. Yeah? But we don't like the results that come back to us. No? And we think somebody else did it unto us. Huh? But only the bad things. Huh? The good things that come to us, we don't need to blame somebody else for it. Huh? Strange thinking, huh? Only the bad things other people do unto us, huh? The good things, you know, I mean, it's our right, huh? Kind of strange thinking, yeah? Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. For whatever is done unto you, you have done unto others. So look at your life and then you know what you've done in previous lives to other people. So how can you complain? Huh? Huh? Think about it. Huh? We only get what we give. Yeah? There's nothing free in this world. Whatever we want, we have to work for it very hard, yeah? Hmm? If we want, you know, that other people respect us, we have to respect others. Huh? If we want that other people are kind to us, you know, we have to be kind to everybody. Yeah? It's that basic of Buddhism, it's called karma. Yeah? And every moment of our life we create this karma. Yeah? And it is like that, you know, I mean, if you ask a farmer, you know, who plants rice today, can he eat it tomorrow? We know it isn't possible. But when we do good things today, we want to earn it tomorrow, huh? What kind of strange thinking is that? Karma needs time to ripe. Just like anything in this world needs time to ripe, yeah? We plant rice, you know, and we have to wait 6 months. We plant good karma and we have to wait 60 years, at least, yeah? Sometimes even longer. If you plant an apple tree, you have to wait 7 lifetimes. But then it comes every life. And then we complain. Huh? Look at your life. Complaining about this, complaining about that, not being happy about this, not being happy about that. Yeah? If you complain to somebody, complain to yourself. Huh? You are the owner of your karma. Huh? I mean, when you do chanting, I mean, you know that. Huh? We are the heirs of our karma. That's the only thing that we inherit. Yeah? We are the heirs of our karma. Yeah? We are the owner of our karma. And every moment of our human life, short human life, we create karma. Be it good karma or bad karma. Hmm? Then think about, you know, one day. Yeah, how many good things are you doing per day? How many bad things? Don't want to think. Huh? How often do I do a good deed? Yeah. And how often, you know, do I just run through life? Yeah, without realizing what I say, without realizing what I do. Our mouth goes before, you know, I mean, in German we have a saying, you know, before you open your mouth, you know, turn on your brain. Huh? Don't do that, huh? The mouth goes first, yeah? We see something, you know, instantly, you know, a reaction comes through our mouth, through words, yeah? That's not the way, yeah? I mean, if you're really Buddhist, you know, I mean, we should be careful about what we are doing, yeah? Every moment, huh? Not running around like, you know, robots, huh? Running around like zombies, yeah? Not knowing what they are doing, just running after what they want, yeah? Huh? You watch some zombie movies, huh? Huh? When you go through KL, you see these zombies, you know, walking through the street, yeah? And you're probably one of them. Hello, we are human beings, but we have to be living up to being humans, yeah? What makes a human being a human being? He's self-aware of what he's doing, why is he doing it, and what kind of results his doing has. That makes us a human being. So, are we doing that? No. It's too tedious. We don't reflect on our doings, we just do. Because there's a voice in our head that tells us what to do, what to like and what to dislike. No? I mean, when you sit here in meditation, you constantly hear it. Huh? No? Who is that voice? Is it you? And who is the one who hears it? And that's what we have to see. You know, there's somebody else, you know, taking hold of us. Huh? And when we start meditation, you know, we want to sit for 1 hour, you know, and after 5 minutes, the kilesas tell us, now it's enough, there's too much pain, you know, it's too much, yeah, dukkha. And don't let us rest, yeah? I'm sick of thinking, you know, and then the next thought is, you know, coming in already. We didn't invite the thought, did you? We want to get rid of thoughts. So who brings all these thoughts in and all these memories, yeah? And tells us, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's mine, it's myself, yeah? Huh? And we say, yes, my Lord, you're always right, yeah? Huh? You governed me very well, you led me to hell, then I came back as a human being just in order to go back to hell. No? We all know hell very well. Every one of us has been there for a long time. How many times we don't even know, we can't even count. We've been humans, you know, we've been animals, we've been everything, yeah? In these 31 realms of existence, yeah? I mean, sometimes we've even been gods, yeah? Or devas, yeah? But we can't get enough of it. This life is not enough, yeah? When we get older, we think only about our youth, you know, programming the next life already, yeah? What are we doing, huh? I mean, that is called, you know, I mean, reflecting, yeah? Self-awareness, aware of what one is doing, why one is doing it, you know, and what kind of result. We never check the result. The kilesas tell us if you do this, you will be happy, yeah? When I look at your faces, you are very happy, you know, because you constantly follow the kilesas. Huh? They lie to us, just like the politicians lie to us. Huh? And we believe them. Huh? I mean, if we catch our friend lying, really lying to us for 3 times, we don't believe him anymore. But we constantly believe our kilesas who tell us, I like this, I don't like this. Huh? We never ask them, why do you like this? Huh? Because they tell us, it's me. I. Who is this I? Huh? Have you ever investigated who is this I? Then think about it, yeah? Today you define yourself like this. 5 years ago you defined yourself differently. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. So where is something that is constant? Huh? When we talk about something that is constant, you know, where is it? Everything is changing. Feelings are changing, thoughts are changing, memories are changing. Huh? So what is I? Yeah? Don't you realize you contradict yourself?
Today you say, I feel so bad.
Yeah?
Tomorrow you say, I feel so happy. I mean, that's completely contrast.
Yeah?
And you don't even see it.
Huh?
No? So who is the I? Is it the bad one? Is it the bad feeling? Or is it the good feeling? Or, yeah, is it the neutral feeling?
Huh?
Is it this memory or is it that memory?
Huh?
It's one of the fundamental principles of Buddhism that the Lord Buddha talked, anatta. It's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. It's not myself.
Yeah?
Yeah? But we still believe it.
Huh?
We're still fast asleep.
What's so interesting about your fingers?
stay with, you know, stay with the Buddha, or stay, you know, stay with what I say, yeah? But we feel uncomfortable,
yeah?
I mean, we all want to know, you know, I mean, we seek out this Ajahn, we seek out that Ajahn, we want to know the truth. But if there's an Ajahn who tells us about the truth, we don't like to hear it.
Huh?
Look at yourself, you know, I mean, that's where the truth is. Yeah? Look at the situation you are in.
Yeah?
The feelings come and go. Thoughts come and go.
Yeah?
Memories come and go. Body comes and go.
Yeah?
So how can you, yeah? And who is realizing that the body comes and goes? Who is realizing that, you know, that the body gets old? And who is jumping out of the dead body?
Huh?
Is it feeling that jumps out of the dead body? Is it the senses that jump? You know, they die with the body. So what is left?
Huh?
If you crash your car, you stay in the car, you know, and get, you know, get on the scrapyard, yeah? Because you believe you are the car? No, you get out. And you try to get a new car,
yeah?
But you're born in the car, you die in the car, and then you think you're the car,
huh?
You're born in this body, you die in this body, and you think you're the body. It's just like a car, very comfortable,
yeah?
Well, I call it biological robot,
yeah?
You remember the first 15 years of your life? Learning to digest. When you come out of the womb, learning to digest. Learning to walk. Learning to talk. How long did it take you to learn to walk? A year? A year and a half. Learning to talk? A year and a half,
yeah?
And then learning to think and to memorize. Another 10 years. 15 years training this body so that it can do what we want it to do.
Huh?
15 years. Why don't you remember this?
Huh?
You want to go back through it? Was it fun?
Huh?
To train this body? Was it so much fun? Because it couldn't do anything when it came out of the womb. It just lied flat on its back, you know.
Yeah?
Huh? And then we started to move, you know, the arms and the feet, you know. That is training a robot. If you don't believe it, you know, watch a YouTube video, you know, how you train an industrial robot, you know, to do a task. Trial, error, trial, error, trial, error, until it works, yeah? And how long does it take? Half a year. This body is much more complicated than any robot that exists in this world. So that's why it needs a long training.
Hmm?
Nothing, you know. I mean, this robot cannot do anything on its own if there is not an owner that is inside it. And that is called the chitta. Yeah? And that programs this robot, just like, you know, anybody outside, you know, trains an industrial robot. Yeah? But we are inside, yeah? We created this biological robot, you know, and we love it. We seem to love it. That's why we come back and again and again and again. Yeah? This body, that body, this time it's a female body, next time it's a male body, yeah? Or it's an animal body, yeah? Or it's a ghost body, or it's a deva body, or it's a body in the hell realms. Huh? When are you getting bored of this? When are you getting fed up with it? Huh? That is the question you should ask yourself. Huh? When you get, the older you get, you know, the more you look at the age when you were 20. Ah, that was nice, I was still strong, you know, could do all these things, yeah? Had lots of fun, yeah? When we get old, you know, oh, this break, oh, this is, yeah? Oh, yeah? Waiting for death to arrive, you know, just to get into a new body, yeah? Can't wait, yeah? We are born to die. And the problem is, you know, we don't make anything useful of our life. We waste our time, we kill our time with Facebook, yeah, with Twitter. Huh? All these things, all these entertainment things, yeah? We can't wait to die, it seems so, huh? Make something useful of your life, yeah? First of all, get a human being, you know, be responsible for whatever you do. Huh? No? We like to play, we like to close our eyes, you know, and don't want to be responsible for our action. That's a child's play, yeah? We become, yeah? You're grown up, yeah? We're grown up so much that we see the first noble truth a little bit. Dukkha. Dissatisfaction. Dis-ease. Restlessness, boredom, pain, suffering. That's all dukkha. Huh? And the body has so much dukkha. We need to get up in the morning. It's dukkha. We need to eat something. Hunger is dukkha. Huh? Thirst is dukkha. You don't drink anything if you're not thirsty. You don't eat anything if you're not hungry. So eating that we think it is pleasure or drinking that we think it's pleasure is just a method to get rid of the dukkha of the body. I mean, if you're not tired, you don't lie down to sleep. Oh? Normally not. Huh? But when we get up from sleep, you know, we feel rested, you know, and we feel happy again. But if you're really tired, you feel so terrible. Dukkha. Huh? Dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. Wherever you look, dukkha, dukkha. Huh? So where's the sukha of the body? What kind of sukha? What kind of, you know, happiness does this body bring? When we need to do the toilet, dukkha. When we relieve ourselves of the shit, sukha. Ah. I mean, don't we look at our life? Don't we reflect sometimes, you know, what is it? What are we doing? Yeah? We get up in the morning, you know, we eat something, you know, we drink something, we do something, we eat and drink something, and then we go to sleep. And we do that from the first time we are born until the moment we are dead. Just doing this or doing that, we call differently so that we are confused about the monotony of life. Getting up, doing something, eating something. Huh? That's so much fun, huh? Think about it. Really think about it. And you want to have another life? Yeah. Because this life is not good, you know, we hope that the next life is better, huh? Huh? Today is not good, we hope tomorrow will be better. Huh? How can it be better if we don't make it better? Huh? It's up to us, you know, to make it a better life, yeah? Do all the things unto others that you want others to do unto you, yeah? So be kind, be happy, be generous, yeah? Be respectful to others and it will all come back to you, yeah? But you're still caught up in this body, you know, that causes a lot of dukkha, dissatisfaction, yeah? The body of a deva doesn't have so much dukkha, yeah? Wherever we go, we have to carry this flesh and bones around with us. 60 kilograms, 80 kilograms, yeah? Wherever we go. That's why we invented the cars, you know? And the motorcycles, and the bicycles, and the airplanes, yeah? To carry this mass of flesh around. Because we are too lazy to to walk it over to the next place, huh? Probably in Malaysia they are as lazy, you know, as in Thailand, you know, wherever, you know, even if it is just 10 meters, you know, they, yeah, turn on their motorbike and drive there. Instead of walking. Huh? It must be a lot of dukkha, this body, but we don't realize it, it's dukkha. Yeah? And that's what you have to realize, yeah? I mean, yeah? Contemplate that. Yeah? I don't know what you contemplate on. Yeah? But that is something that you have really to investigate. Body. Yeah? Is it worthwhile? Yeah? All the work you put into this body? Huh? And in the end this body dies? I mean, how do you spend your time during the day? You wash the body, you clothe the body, you feed the body, you relieve the body, and you work, you know, so that you can, you know, buy food, you know, and your house, you know, you can buy an apartment or, yeah, rent an apartment, to buy clothes, yeah. So all your life you're working for this body that is going to die. I mean, what kind of senselessness? Huh? And how much pleasure do you get out of it? Of all this work? Huh? Because we are born and everyone around us, you know, does the same things, we don't think. Huh? We just follow our leader, yeah? When they say, you know, you go in this direction, we go, yeah? It's the kilesas who love this body, yeah? They want to play around with it. And they don't want us to destroy this illusion about the body, that the body is something very beautiful. Yeah? It's something beautiful, isn't it? Whatever goes into the body is beautiful. Whatever comes out of the body is disgusting. Huh? The sweat that comes out of this body, the poos and the blood, you know, and things that come out of the body. We all find it disgusting. When you wash your hairs, you know, and they fall in the drainage, you find it disgusting. As long as it is on your head, you find it beautiful. Huh? Isn't there something wrong? What kind of monster is this body that turns everything that is beautiful into something that is disgusting? Must be a real monster. Huh? When you polish your nails, you think it's beautiful. You know, when you cut them and put them next to your table where you eat, yeah, you find it disgusting. Nobody tells you that it's disgusting. You find it disgusting. Huh? The hair that falls into the soup. You find it utterly disgusting. Huh? And there you see, you know, the things that come onto the body are beautiful. The things that go into the body are beautiful. Yeah? That's where our likes lie. And everything that comes out of the body we find disgusting. So that's dislike. So greed and hatred, you see, you can see it very clearly, are rooted in this body. Nowhere else. Yeah? And that's where, you know, where this great discrepancy is, you know, that we don't understand or that we take for granted, that we never contemplated on. The body is the body. It's neither good, it's not bad. You know, it's neither beautiful nor it's disgusting. It's just a body, it's just a tool. Yeah? But we don't see it as that. Yeah? Why do we dress up? Why do we make up? Huh? Make up for what? For the deficiencies in our body. Why do we dress the way we dress? Huh? We only show the things that we think are beautiful and hide the things that are ugly. Yeah. So we ourselves, you know that there are parts of the body that we don't want to expose to others. We don't want others to see. That's why you use clothes, yeah? But there are parts of our body we want to show to others. So that they get attracted to us. Normal reaction, yeah? Neither positive nor negative, it's just the way it is, yeah? The males do it the same way, yeah? They have other means, yeah? I mean, just look at the animal realm. I mean, we live in, the Ajahn lives in the forest, you know? I mean, he just needs to watch hens and chickens, yeah? Chickens and, what is the male chickens, huh? How they behave, you know, and you see the human race there. Have you ever watched chickens, huh? No? Then watch it. And you see it, huh? I mean, why animals have been human beings before? Do you think they change their ways of behavior? No. So when we look at the animal realm, we see it. Yeah. I mean, the cocks constantly fighting, you know? And the hens constantly luring in the cocks who are strong, you know, to be their mate. Nature. So what is it that we want to do with our life, yeah? I mean, think about it, contemplate this, yeah? I mean, this is a daily reflection. What did the Lord Buddha say? You know, the body is a daily reflection, yeah? We don't even want to see the inside of our body, huh? When you're a medical student and you're the first time you open a corpse, you know, you fall either unconscious or you throw up. Why is that? And it's just the skin that protects us, you know, from seeing all this ugliness, yeah? Next time look in the mirror and think, you know, your skin is, you know, transparent, yeah? You like to see what is underneath the skin? Huh? You like to hug your partner if he has no skin on it? Think about it. And the skin is thin, it's a thin tissue, yeah? And it hides all this dirt that is underneath it, huh? That's reality, yeah? If you know a doctor who's gone through medical training, he will tell you the first time he opened a corpse. They are so shocked when they see a reality. But we live in this illusion about this skin, you know. Skin care. Caring about our skin. It's all about the outside. It's all about the outside. It's all about the looks. It's not about the inside. What makes the body beautiful is the inside. It's the citta. If the citta is generous, you know, it makes the body beautiful. If the citta, you know, helps other people, you know, is friendly to other people, it makes the body beautiful. But nowadays, you know, we need plastic surgery to make the body beautiful. Because nobody sees the citta, We don't look at the citta of the other person, we just look at their appearance. And after knowing them for a few years, we get disgusted, Because their appearance doesn't match in, with what we're expecting, That's reality, Correct me if I say something wrong, And that is something, we have to really contemplate, I mean, why do we want this body? For what is the purpose of this body to play around? I mean, if you think, it's just worthwhile, for the little time we have to play, the little time we don't need to look after the body, we have to play around, or we can play around. Is it worthwhile to keep up this body? Or maybe there's another state, where we don't have to take care so much of this body. Just like the deva realms, But even in the deva realm, we can't stay forever. Just like my master, he said, when he looked at his previous life, one time he was in this deva realm, in the heavenly realms, and then once that ended, he found himself into this hell. And then he went to another heavenly realm. Once this ended, he went to another hell. And then he went up to heaven again, and then he went to another hell. Until he came back to a human being where he just produced all this karma to go to heaven and hell. And when you think about, one day has 24 hours, how many things are we doing that sends us to heaven? Hardly anything. How many things are we doing to send us to hell? Lots of things. 5 precepts. I mean, I think you took the 8 precepts. What is the first precept? Not to harm any living being. Second, not to take what is not given. Third, sexual misconduct. Being unfaithful in its partnership. Having sex, with people who are dependent on us. Be it, be it mother, father, or teacher, or professor, or be it, in a position, where you have, where you have people under you, Using that position, it's all sexual misconduct. Now look at the world. Where do you think all these people go? Straight down to hell. There's no choice for them. And then, Musa, wrong speech. Not only lies, wrong speech. This person is not good, that person is not good, this is, look what he's doing. It's wrong speech. We constantly blame others. Why don't you start blaming yourself? Other people blame us. Look at her, what she is doing, yeah? No? Start to blame yourself and you don't have even time, you know, to blame others. No? Not true? Huh? Look at your life, yeah? Because your dissatisfaction you don't see, you know, because of your dukkha you have, I mean you start to try to find somebody, a scapegoat, you know, who you can blame for. Huh? Or you want to feel better, that's why you watch news, you know, where other people are in a worse situation. And then you feel good, I'm not in a... That's what news are for, to make us feel better. Not so bad as other people, yeah? You're still a bad enough, yeah? Or does anybody think he's good? It's impossible. You wouldn't be born. We are born because of greed and hate. If we don't have greed and hate, we are not born. Huh? And greed and hate, you know, creates good and evil. Huh? So there's a lot of evil within us. There's a lot of good within us, yeah? And for some people, you know, there's lots of evil and there's little good, yeah? And for others, there's lots of good and little evil. But we all have bad things or evil sides, and we all have good sides. So, that's why we have to strengthen, yeah? The good sides. That's about Lord Buddha's teaching, yeah? I thought it was one of the Dhamma part of verses, yeah? Don't do evil, yeah? Do good. Whatever you do, but that's what where we need sati, that's where we need awareness of what we are doing in our life. Huh? Before we do something, we think, you know, is it good, you know, and then go ahead and do it. If it's bad, then, you know, don't refrain from it. Huh? That's where we can make our life better, yeah? And we can reduce the evil in our heart. Yeah? But for that we have to practice. And we have to practice awareness. Yeah? And practicing awareness, you know, starts with practicing concentration. We concentrate on one point. Yeah? It's called samadhi, concentration. And whenever, you know, whenever the mind goes out into thoughts or memories, you know, we bring it back to that point. Be it the Buddha or be it the breath at the tip of the nose. Huh? Once we can concentrate fairly well, you know, then we start to know about the breath. Huh? Or about the Buddha. Is the breath slow? Is the breath deep? Is it shallow? Is it short? Is it long? Because this knowing about the object that we observe, or that we concentrate on, that is called sati. The knowingness of the object we observe. Yeah? And that is absolutely important. If we don't have sati, I mean we are blind. We don't see anything. Yeah? If we have sati, that is the light. Yeah? That's where we start to see. I mean the way out of dukkha is the way of sila. Yeah, I explained it except for the last one, that is not drinking alcohol and not taking drugs that makes us unaware. Yeah? Where we lose our mindfulness. Huh? The path to the end of dukkha is sila, samadhi, panya. Samadhi. Yeah? It's not an option. Why did the Lord Buddha say, you know, we have to learn samadhi? Or it's called sometimes called samatha, calm meditation, to make the mind calm. Huh? I mean, most of you are women, you know, all cook. Huh? If you want to cut vegetables and you have a blunt knife, can you do it? Huh? Can you cut the fish with a blunt knife? Can you cut the meat with a blunt knife or your vegetables? Huh? You can squash it, But you can't cut it. So how are you going to proceed, you know? To develop wisdom, what is the third column, if you don't have a sharp knife, if you don't have sati. Vipassana is inside meditation. But inside means, you know, looking inside your heart, not looking inside your mind, not looking into your thoughts, not looking into your memories. It's looking inside the heart that is blocked off by the kilesas. So how do we remove the kilesas? Through samatha meditation. So that the kilesas are out of the heart for a moment. And then we can look in the heart. All of you tell me, you know, probably tell me you have a heart. And I tell you, you have lost the connection to your heart. You don't even know what the heart wants. You constantly follow your mind. What the mind tells you. I want to do this, I want to do that, you know, I want to get calm, I want to get happy. Yeah? That's not what the heart tells us. The heart tells us, get out, thoughts get out. Yeah? Kilesas get out. I want to have peace, rest. Calm. And that's why we need to do samatha. Huh? Practicing, yeah? Concentrating on one point, and once we are able to concentrate more or less on this one point, knowing. The knowing faculty about the Buddha. Is the Buddha fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Yeah? Is the Buddha there? Yeah? Is it the B? Is it the U? Is it the D? Yeah? Not monotonous about the Buddha, yeah? While the mind is still thinking in the background. That you never get calm. Yeah? Or breath, you know? And then trying to control the breath. Oh, the breath should be calm, yeah? And then... Huh? That's controlling the breath. That's not observing the breath. Meditation is about observing. Huh? It's not controlling. We control all our life and we see. And you can see the mess you are in. Huh? Trying to control the environment, try to control your husband or your wife. Yeah, doesn't work out. Have you you haven't noticed that yet? Huh? Trying to control your children. Huh? Trying everything. Your work environment, yeah? Your colleagues, your boss, and so on. Yeah? Doesn't work out. And when we do meditation, we try to do the same thing. We try to control the breath. Yeah? Meditation is not about controlling. It's about observing. And that is something, you know, that we have to learn. Just like a child has to learn to walk. And it won't work, you know, on the first day. Huh? Takes time. Ask your child. Or ask yourself. Yeah? Remember when you were young. Yeah, you got up, you fell over. Oh, I can't meditate. I can't walk. Anybody here who can't walk? Huh? You fell, you hurt yourself, you cried, and you got up again. Why do you stop meditating? Huh? Oh, I can't meditate. I can't do samatha. It's so difficult. Well, then bury yourself, yeah? And say, tell yourself, hello, hell, here I am. Because that's the only option that you have then. Yeah? I mean, it's hard work, yeah? I know. Every one of us, you know, no matter, you know, if he's a monk or if he's a lay practitioner, we have to go through the same difficulties. We have to go through the hindrances, yeah, of tiredness, of sloth, of torpor, yeah. We all have to go through it. But the more effort we put, you know, the more determination we put, determination is one of the enlightenment factors. Energy and effort is also an enlightenment factor. And samadhi is an enlightenment factor. Yeah? Pity is an enlightenment factor. You heard of that, huh? Equanimity is an enlightenment factor. Yeah? All these things, huh? And we can learn that, you know, with this training of samadhi. Yeah? And we have to train samadhi first before we can even do any kind of investigation. Yeah? If your knife is, you know, I mean, remember this. If your knife is blunt, you can't cut. Yeah. Try to cut the tree of greed and hate with a blunt knife, huh? How successful are you? Huh? We can make scratches in the moment we are at the other side, you know, the scratch is healed. Huh? So with a blunt knife, you can't do any work, yeah? That's why, if you remember, that's why the Lord Buddha said, yeah, sati is one of the shortcuts. And how do you develop sati? With vipassana? Huh? No, with samatha. Huh? And sati is not mindfulness. Sati is mind emptiness. The mind is empty of all things. That's how it knows. If the mind is full, it doesn't know. The knowingness is blocked by our, oh, I'm so mindful, I'm so mindful. Huh? So sati is mind emptiness. Then we know what is going on in the heart. And that is something we have to train. And that is something where people, you know, I mean, especially younger people here, who are so distracted, who can't even concentrate, you know, one thing for 5 minutes, yeah? I mean, we'll have a hard time to learn. Yeah? But even older people will have it a hard time to learn, yeah? And that is something we have to learn, just like we have to learn to walk, yeah? Before we can explore this world, we have to learn to walk, otherwise we can't go there. If we don't have sati, we can't do investigation. I mean, if thinking sets us free, every one of us would be free by a long time ago. Huh? We just read books, we know, yeah? And then we are free. Look at your faces and you see you're not free, yeah? And you're quite intelligent. Huh? So I mean, knowledge doesn't set you free. Wisdom sets you free. And wisdom is only developed in the heart, once the heart is completely calm. And once the heart is completely calm, there's also happiness. Huh? What we are constantly looking for, the happiness. Huh? It arises there in the heart. It's one of the key factors of the heart, actually. I mean, the Lord Buddha said about, you know, Nibbana, the supreme happiness. Huh? Anybody heard that? And where do you think you find it? In this kind of food or that kind of food, this kind of clothes or that kind of clothes, yeah? In this kind of house or that kind of house. No, he found it in his heart, yeah? The supreme happiness. Yeah? And when we do samatha meditation, we find happiness, not yet the supreme happiness. We find happiness. We find calm. We find peacefulness, yeah? All our worries stop. And that's why it's so important to do this meditation. To give us a motive. Huh? We are so laden with dukkha. Yeah? You know, I mean, look at your shoulders. You know, I mean, they all point downwards. Yeah? All the dukkha that weighs on you. Yeah? And samadhi is the way, you know, I mean, to throw away this burden for a while. Yeah? When we enter samadhi, when there is no more thoughts, when there is no more memories, there is no more future, and there is no more past. There are no worries, there is no loneliness, you know, all the things that we so long for. Yeah? No? You don't? You want your worries? That's where you feel alive. Yeah? You want your future that hasn't come? You want your path there? Or you want to have a peace of mind? So when you focus on your Buddha, you sit comfortable and then you don't worry about your sitting position. Just sit comfortable, close your eyes, observe the breath at the tip of the nose, Know that the breath is long, know that the breath is short, know it is the in-breath. In the beginning, all what you know is it's the in-breath or the out-breath. And sometimes this you even forget. So concentrate when the thought comes, bring it back to the Buddha or bring it back to the tip of the nose. That's all what you need to do. Very simple instruction. The simpler the instruction, the easier it is to understand. And that's why we don't like it. We like to make everything so complicated. We have to bow 3 times, and we have to praise the Lord Buddha, and the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we have to do this ritual and that ritual, in order to get happy. No. At the time of the Lord Buddha, there were no rituals. There was just sitting samadhi and investigation, There were no books, Do you think the Lord Buddha studied all the Buddhist texts? Where do you think he found the Dhamma? In Buddhist texts, He studied it all before he could go in? No. He found the Dhamma in his heart. And when you go the path, you will find the Dhamma in the heart. And that kind of Dhamma is true. It's not obscured by words. It's not obscured by interpretation of this monk or that monk. Because each monk has a different interpretation. Each teacher has a different interpretation. And you listen to this person or you listen to that monk, and in the end you don't know what he's talking about. You get confused. What shall I do now? The instruction is very simple, Keep your nose, close your eyes and keep your attention on the Buddha or on the breath, Until the mind gets calm. And then you can rest for a while because the kilesas are outside, they can't enter this room. You're in a safe house, and the safe house is there any time you want to go in there. But first of all you have to train it, and that training is difficult. And if you give up, you will never be able to go there. It's the first, it is the first motivation that we can get. It's the first motivation that we see that this world is not like we think it is. Because thought stops, we don't think about the world. It's a world of experience. And it's very different from this world that we live in. Constantly sensing bombarding us, Thoughts bombarding us, memories bombarding us. There's none of this. We are happy, we feel at peace. When we come out, we feel rested and energized. And that's where we can start our investigation. Because then we have to learn, we learned already how to concentrate. And what do we investigate? This body. What kind of pleasure does this body give us? So that is the first thing that you have to learn here, you have 5 days' time, learn the basics, how to sit. Sit comfortable, then close your eyes and then put your concentration. You can either use the Buddha or you can use the breath at the tip of the nose. Whenever thought comes, you pull your mind back to the object of attention. Understood? And don't think it's easy. It will be very difficult. But it wasn't easy to learn to walk. It wasn't easy to learn to talk. Think about, remember the times, When you tried to say a word and nobody understood what you were saying, How frustrated you were. Some of you remember that, If not, go back in time and remember it, The same thing, when we train to think, And our parents said, oh, you don't understand that. How frustrated we were. We wanted to understand what they are talking about. But we weren't able to understand because we haven't trained our brain enough, you know, to be able to follow. It's all hard work, yeah? There is no easy way out, yeah? It's easier to live in this world, you know, it's easier to have a job 24 hours a day, you know, than to do meditation 10 hours a day. And that's what you're supposed to do, 10 hours a day. Be it walking meditation, sitting meditation, yeah? If it's nice outside, do walking meditation. It's easier to control the mind, yeah? Walk normally, don't walk slow. I mean, if you walk too slow, you know, your mind is all over the place. Huh? Walk fast. The faster you walk, the easier it is to concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath. Huh? Don't worry about, you know, controlling the footsteps. You know how to walk. I mean, you walk for a long time already. And when you go into the city, go shopping, you never look about, you know, how you walk. Huh? Now when you do walking meditation, why do you need to look? Huh? Huh? As if you couldn't walk, huh? When you want something, when you want to go there, you know, I mean, you never care about how you walk, you know, you just want to get there, yeah? Your eyes are already there, you know, but your foot, you know, cannot follow. Huh? So, I mean, the faster you walk, you know, the easier it is to concentrate the rest of the citta that is not occupied with walking on the Buddha or on the breath, yeah? You can also use, you know, Buddha with breathing in and Do with breathing out. That's about it. It's as simple as this, yeah? There's nothing much that we need to know about all this, yeah? Very simple instruction that leads to calm. It leads to peace of mind. And it leads to energy because we concentrate all this energy. Yeah? When you have a magnifying glass, you now try to put it in the rays of the sun and then see what is coming out there. Yeah? I mean, it can light a fire because all the rays are concentrated on the one single point. I mean, the citta is so powerful. But we let it disperse just like the rays of the sun. Yeah? And that's why we need to concentrate it onto one point, that it becomes powerful again. Once it becomes powerful, you know, we can use it to our own advantage. Yeah? It's our inheritance. Yeah? I mean, who do you think created this world? A god? Our citta. Yeah? But now it is completely sucked up in this body, you know. It doesn't know anything to do, yeah. Make it powerful, yeah. Make it your own tool, you know. Don't let the kilesas use it, yeah. That's the point of meditation. So the instruction is simple, yeah. Anybody not understood? Huh? So anybody has some questions? Huh? I mean, that's enough for today. You already looked so depressed. Huh? We all want to find the truth, you know, but we can't bear to hear the truth. Huh? The truth about the body, yeah? Just look at it and you see it for yourself, yeah? But you don't want to know it, huh? Yeah? We like to live in our imagination. We like to live in our dream worlds, huh? Dream about tomorrow, it's better, yeah? Paint out, you know, the pictures, yeah? We don't live in this present moment where we feel all the dukkha of this body, huh? Okay, so I'll ask your questions if you have any. No questions? What is the time? 9 o'clock. You're already tired, or? Huh? You want to go to sleep? This took off the body, huh? I mean, wake up, huh? You're so fast asleep, you know, from the time you're born, you know. Huh? Wake up sometimes, you know. What am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I in this body? Why am I in this world? Why am I in this, yeah, in this country, huh? The Lord Buddha tried to wake us up, you know, but most of us are fast asleep, yeah. We program this body, you know, so that it can run, you know, and then we let it run. We put it on autopilot, huh? It just does its work, yeah? And only sometimes we crash, you know, and then we think something is wrong, you know. We change our programming, you know, and then we go on autopilot again, huh? Getting up, doing this, doing that, you know, and then going to sleep, yeah? That's autopilot. Huh? Only if we crash, you know, I mean, if we have some really tough time, you know, then we think we need to change something in our life, yeah? And then we reprogram ourselves, you know, and then we press autopilot, you know, and then we walk again, yeah? Fast asleep, yeah? So wake up, huh? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Is anybody there? Or it's just zombies, you know, sitting around here. Huh? Okay, no question. Then we just close, yeah? And he always has questions. Normally it doesn't work. Yeah? I'm here. Connection, what?
Ajahn, you did mention about connection between the heart, the citta, and our realities or the perception we have. This connection that we actually perceive, we create, is this creation something which relates between feeling and our perception? I'm talking about passa. Passa as in the dependent origination. How do you give us some insight into this?
It's so complicated. I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say? Open your eyes and see for yourself. I mean, understand, you know, go inside the heart and then you see how it ticks. Huh? And then you see the connection, yeah? You see the intention to breathe. You see the intention, yeah? To think. You see the intention, yeah? To go out, you know, where the citta goes out to the senses, yeah? And that is first-hand experience, you know, what you need more. All what we want, you know, because we are trained, intellectual understanding, yeah? I mean, if intellectual understanding could set us free, you know, we would all be free by now. We have to actually do the work and see and observe and look and understand, you know. Make the heart open, you know, just like I said in Samatha, open it up, yeah, so the heart can see what it does. Because the heart is completely closed off by the kilesas, by avicca, huh? It closes it off, you know, we don't even see it, we don't have the connection to it, yeah? But when we go in samatha, when the heart is, you know, open, yeah? then we are there. Then we see what the heart is doing. Because the intention comes from the heart, not from the physical heart, from the citta. Yeah? And then we can see everything. Yeah? It is not important, you know, to understand. Yeah? I mean, what is important is to know how to do the practice. Yeah? How to get calm. And then the second step, how to investigate the things that we believe it's us. And these are the five khandhas. Yeah? And if you do that, you will understand. Yeah? I mean, talking about the connection to the heart, you know, first you have to find the connection to the heart, yeah? Get to the heart, you know, and that, because it's so difficult, yeah? That's why we like to want to know, yeah? And avijja is nothing else than wanting to know. Wanting to understand, but not being able to know and not being able to understand, yeah? Avijja, yeah? Vijja is knowing, yeah? Vijja is knowledge. And avijja is not. Non-knowledge, not knowing. Yeah? Not knowing in line with the truth. Yeah? And we have to get the connection to the heart because the heart knows it all. I mean, how did the Lord Buddha know, you know, that he was the fourth Buddha on this planet? That there were three civilizations before us with Buddhas, you know, and each of the Buddha had this kind of, you know, length, yeah? The Buddha's teaching lasted for 100,000 years, yeah? Think about a civilization that lasts for 100,000 years. We can only think about our civilization for 7,000 years. It's very short, yeah? And it will go down very soon, you know? So, I mean, it's a very short civilization. Huh? The dispensation, you know, or the teaching of the Lord Buddha will only last 5,000 years. That's what he said, yeah? Other dispensation from the previous Buddha lasted 100,000 years. Huh? Yeah, the people lived a little bit longer, yeah? 200, 300, 400, 500 years. We have a very short life, yeah? Not longer than a cat. Not much longer. So find the connection to the heart, you know, and the knowing, you know. I mean, how did the Lord Buddha know? He went into his heart, yeah? And he knew the future and he knew the past. Because it's all there. Huh? So we don't have to create it, you know, just go there and see, yeah? And then, once you're in the heart, you can ask the question. And maybe you know. Maybe you don't know. Okay? I don't like complicated questions. I like to make it simple so people that understand it. Yeah? Everybody can understand it. Not only people from high school or from university. Yeah? Forest University is a very simple university, but it's a very tough university. Yeah? You have to be facing your own feelings. You have to be facing reality. And that is tough, yeah? Not thinking about reality, not thinking about, you know, your problems. Yeah? That's a different. Okay? More questions? I mean, when I look at your faces, you know, the only thing I see is you want to go to sleep, huh? Huh? Why did you come here? I thought you want to go to meditate, huh? To practice, yeah? Samatha. Okay, enough, yeah?